preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
So very grateful that you've tuned in for another edition of Abounding Grace. We are continuing and concluding this week our study in John chapter 6, and oh, what a chapter this has been. Here we meet Jesus like we have never met him before. His teachings confront, his teachings are direct. They confront our lives in such a way as to draw out a response, and all preaching and teaching should do that. Let me just read a little bit of John chapter 6 toward the end to conclude and give you a feel of exactly what's going on in this chapter. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father.' Now, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Well, you know, there's a real struggle as a pastor approaches a text like this, you know. On the one hand, every temptation on the pastor's part is to want to give God's people and those who hear, those who come in off the streets, an upbeat, positive sermon that is encouraging, that is helpful for the daily walk, that just makes everyone feel encouraged, you know. Every pastor desires that. And I suppose that's why people have moved to the topical model of preaching, where they say, look, we're going to take a topic, we're not going to exposit the Word of God, we're going to take a topic that fits our agenda, and that way it's just nice, it's chatty, it's conversational, it's non-offensive, it's easy, it's a bar stool kind of approach to teaching and preaching. And you know, people walk out and they aren't pressed. I have sad news for those doing that and for those sitting under that. You are not involved in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You are in a false church. The way the scriptures were designed, God gave his word to be exposited. Preach the word in season and out of season. And so though it's my desire to give upbeat, positive, encouraging messages, ultimately I'm bound by what God has said because I'm a messenger of his word. I have to preach and teach that. It's his covenant document. It's his word from heaven. Well, one of the saddest, most tragic, painful sections of the Bible are given to us, at least in terms of results of ministry. And we are just obsessed in the church today with results, how many we can get in, do whatever we can to keep them. One of the saddest, painful sections of the Bible in terms of results is John 6. Let me give you a sense of John 6. Verse 41 begins with the Jews, God's people, complaining. That's not an unfamiliar phenomenon in the life of the church. They complain. Jesus then begins to give teaching that is so confrontive and difficult to understand that you're just left perplexed. "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." Do you know how divisive that statement has been in the history of the church? There have been more fights over what that means, especially in terms of the Lord's Supper. Then, in verse 52, the Jews quarreled among themselves. It means they fought. Verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Jesus was not up there speaking soft stories, speaking nice to the children, having a jolly old time, one of the good old boys. His teaching was so in your face that by the time he's done, thousands who had been following say, "That's it. We're done. We're done with this guy. We're done with his teaching." What is encouraging about that, my friends? Thousands walk away from the only one who can give them life. That is a tragedy. And how does this chapter end? Verse 70. "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. So hard, isn't it? From 5,000 at the beginning of this chapter, he has whittled it down to 12. You know what the title of this sermon should be? How to Shrink Your Church. He has whittled it down to 12. And now I haven't even been introduced to this man called Judas in the gospel, and I'm told of him, and he is called a devil. You see the struggle, my friends? Welcome to the Christian ministry. Who wants a ministry like this, by the way? No one does. But ultimately, it's Christ's ministry. Who wants a ministry like Isaiah? Go and make the hearts of this people dull. In other words, go preach so as to harden their hearts. No one wants that. Who wants teaching that drives people away? Who wants to give teaching that so confronts their lives that often it results in fighting? Who wants to hear there may be a devil among the church? And that's how this chapter ends? Anyone want to leave the church today? Anyone disgusted with that kind of preaching? Listen, what I just described is exactly how thousands felt about the teachings of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? What I'm describing in first century Judaism, and as Christ is preaching the gospel of the kingdom, this is how thousands felt about the teaching of Jesus. You know, would he have a mega church today? Would he have thousands come to hear him preach and teach? I can answer that, because in John 6, he's whittled it down to 12, one of which is a devil. They didn't like his teaching. You see the struggle a pastor has? Why does it have to be that way? I'm searching. You know what? I'm searching for hope here. I'm trying to put my heart into this text to understand. What is the benefit of explaining this hard-hitting chapter for you, dear radio listener? I mean, think about it. Don't the events scare you away from the kingdom? Don't they scare away those who are contemplating whether they should come? What is the beacon of light in this horrid scene of mass failure? Well, as I look at John 6 carefully, there is one diamond in the rough here, and it's verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away? Do you want to leave me too?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That, my friend, should stand out. We should be saying, "Wow, how did that happen? I know Peter. I know he's been a bumbling fool throughout the Gospels. I know he's going to deny Jesus 3 times, but that from him? How?" Well, it's something that Jesus says, my friends, 3 times in this chapter. A teaching that is utterly so hard that ultimately it will drive the multitudes away. 3 times he says, in the midst of all this rejection and bad response to his teachings, he highlights the most beautiful and the most comforting truth in the Bible. He says it 3 times in John 6. First, verse 37, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me." Verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And then again, verse 65, "Therefore, I have said to you, No one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. You can't come unless you're given permission by God himself. Do you hear the all-important truth of John 6? That in the midst of raging, unregenerate hearts, things are so bad in the human hearts. Like Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? It's what Jesus said. Out of the heart proceeds what? Murders, adulteries, fornications, blasphemies, theft, false witness. All of these things spring from the heart of man. You ever heard people tell you, listen to your heart? Ever hear people say in our society, follow your heart, do what your heart tells you? Jesus says it's totally corrupt. Don't listen to it. See, the unregenerate heart is so bad that ultimately we don't want Jesus Christ. We don't want what he's offering. We'll never come to him. Our hearts are intensely bitter to the things of God. And you see, now we begin to see what John 6 is all about. All these people teach us about ourselves, teaches us what ministry is like. Bunch of people always fighting. And the beacon of light shines here, even though it seems that the ministry of Jesus Christ himself is a massive failure. John wants us to see that in such darkness, how wonderful, how powerful the sovereignty of God is. Election and the sovereignty of God makes belief possible. Jesus is saying, I will give eternal life to every last one of those given to me by my Father. And they're going to come to me. Revelation tells us there's going to be a multitude so great no man can number. Remember what Ephesians, remember how the book of Ephesians opens up. And this is one of the most beautiful truths I said in the scriptures because it makes believing possible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before when? When he saw that you would choose him? No. Whoever says that is just denying scripture. What does it say? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? Well, what about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. See, John 6 is showing this play out. In the midst of so many who won't come, so many who won't commit their lives to Jesus, so many who sadly follow in his kingdom, who attend, who are part of the kingdom, but won't come to him that they might really live. Jesus is saying and declaring here, all of those given to me by my Father will come. They will come. So what's the question for us today, dear radio listener? What's the issue that we have to grapple with? What's the question that must be answered? Very simple. Very simple. Have you come? Have you come to Jesus Christ? If you've come, you know God has poured out and given you election according to the grace given to you from the foundation of the world. I want to let you know about a Reformed Bible College winter course that I'll be teaching in Canada. I will be lecturing at the Aldergrove Canadian Reformed Church on January 13, Thursday night, 7:30. Be doing that for 12 weeks. We give you an invite to join us there for that. I'll be teaching for 12 weeks on the Gospel of John. We would love to have you. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. You can find more about those lectures and about the church at lindenurc.com or giving us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.